times we have a discouraging heart or a discouraged heart. And we focus on only getting out or escaping. How many have ever tried to escape the problems? How many have lived under the anointing of escape? Well, I want to take you to Romans chapter 2 because of, well, let's say it this way. The Lord used me to bring this word to the Canadian province of Quebec many years ago. And it wasn't well received. And the Lord had told me already before I went that it wasn't going to be well received. I mean, you know, you can bring a word and you know that, you know, you can give it to somebody, but they're just not going to really be happy about it. They don't want to hear it. They're not ready. Well, even though they're not ready, that doesn't mean that God won't speak the word. There are times that you're going to speak a word to someone and they're not really prepared to hear it, but it's a seed that you're putting in. And in fact, the vision that came through our sister the other day was that there were seeds under the rug. Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense in the natural, but it's right on target with God. Don't worry about it, sweetheart. When there's a seed under the rug, God's going to somehow miraculously feed that seed. And he's going to shine on it, and he's going to bring living water on it, and it will sprout. Well, obviously, this word was not received very well, but it did sprout. And so I'd like to take you there, Romans 2, verse 7. To those who persistent, who by persistence in doing good, so the persistence in doing good is not going to be an emotional high on you. Right or wrong? You're going to do good because it's persistent. It's something that you're going to purpose to do, even if they don't deserve it. Right or wrong? That's what persistence is with me. Okay? I like to give an example sometimes, and I give the example, and I give it again, and I give it again, and those who are watching don't want any part of it. Those who are listening don't want any part of it. Can anybody relate? Okay. So, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. He will give eternal life. So the benefit of seeking those three things is going to have an awesome payback. The payback is eternal life. The full benefit of living eternally is going to be for those who are seeking glory. Which kind of glory? They're advertising how holy they are? No. Seeking the glory of the Lord. Seeking what He wants in your life. Seeking what He wants you to complete in your mission in the earth. Amen? Then He says, seek honor. Wow. How would I seek honor? That looks like a puffy, huffy type of thing. But not really. Because by doing things correctly, someone will finally catch on, in some cases in the natural, but in other cases, at least in the realm of the spirit. Okay? Now, how many know that we all live through different tests? And sometimes we can fail the test. But God doesn't give up on us. Amen? Now, the last part, it says seek immortality. Well, I can remember in my life that there was a season where I was purposing to pay a $200,000 insurance, and that's quite a few years ago, so at that time it was a lot of money. And I was planning my own suicide. So that's how happy I was. That's how joyful I was. That's how I was living day to day, planning to go forward to end it all. making sure that the family was going to be well done. Okay? You say, why are you saying that? Because at the time I didn't know that I was to seek immortality. I was seeking death. I was making a covenant with death. I was making a preparation to get myself out of here so that my hurts would no longer be affecting others. Lots of rational. Not God. A lot of great discernment on my part. Not God. A lot of great education on my part. And a lot of great planning. And guess who was the author? Wasn't God. Could God use it? Yes. Did God use it? Yes. But you know what? I didn't want to live anymore. I was tired. I didn't want to go on. Sick of this particular earth situation. And I knew how to end it. Chose the abutment on the highway. Oh yeah, I spotted my place. I knew exactly where it was going to go. Could I have failed? Not in my book. But you understand, totally off of God's plan. And when I got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, I said, oh my God. I began to understand. And reading a book, I remember the particular book, the battle that goes on inside of an individual when they don't know that they've got an adversary aiming at killing you. The book was Three Battlegrounds by Charles Capps, I believe. I highly recommend it to anybody who doesn't want to understand how to live anymore. Go to that book, Three Battlegrounds. Shows you the battle of the mind, shows you the battle of the demonic, and shows you your own attitude. You know what? I cried through most of it. Asked God to forgive me because I had no clue about who was trying to kill me. And I didn't want to pray or seek immortality at that time. I was only trying to get rid of me honorably. Talk about false honor. But it was a good plan for the brain. It was a good plan for that day. But it wasn't God. Go to 2 Timothy 1:10. Second letter of Timothy. Okay? Chapter 1, verse 10. Well, let's kind of back it up to verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. Now, St. Paul speaking to his spiritual son. But join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, and of this gospel was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is what I am suffering as I am. Yes, I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. That should give you a clue of what St. Paul was going through. Was hardship planned by God for Paul? Was hardship planned by God for Kim? Was hardship planned by God for you? But what are you supposed to do with it? Go ahead.
Overcome.
Overcome. Overcoming is something that we don't enjoy doing. But unless there's something to overcome, you'll never be an overcomer. Amen? So, whatever it is that you're focused on that is so hard for you right now, I'm trying to give you a word to awaken in you a hunger for life. In spite of the pain. In spite of the imprisonment. St. Paul says, I'm in prison because Jesus put me here. I mean, how many know that grinds your wheels? Why would Jesus put Paul, one of his precious apostles, in prison? It doesn't make sense. Well, in case you forgot, God's not sensible. He is not what I would call practical either. Because if he were to do things the way I think, we wouldn't be here. Right? If he would have waited for me to have a great life in order to bless me, I probably would have never needed him. That's a clue, isn't it? But in that hardship, in that hopelessness, he came and rescued me. He bounced into my heart. And he filled me with his spirit. And I began to pray in other tongues with four very, very precious syllables, which drove me nuts. And I don't want to go there. Because you know what? I was jealous. Other people got baptized in the Holy Ghost. They got a whole new language. Here's me, four syllables. Wonderful. Yeah, and I knew what they meant. And therefore, I must be nuts. See, when he gave me the gift, the interpretation came automatically, but nobody ever told me, and I had never really read anything about the gifts. I had only found out that sin was terrible. And I was definitely accusing myself that I was a hopeless case, and I was not going to live anymore like this because I could end it all. You say you were born again when you wanted to commit suicide? Yes, I was. I had accepted the Lord. But I didn't want to live! It's too painful. Alcoholic parents, crabby people all around me. Did you ever have any of those things in your life? Thank you. Oh, I thought it was alone. But what you see, when God said, begin to seek for life. Begin to seek for my glory. To be exposed. How? Through your own life. How can God show his glory through somebody else's life? He can show it through you. By taking you from where you were to what you have become. I don't want to die anymore. I'm not planning any funeral tomorrow. Why? Because life is wonderful. In spite of the pain and in spite of the tests. Why? Because I know who my master is. And I know who my maker is now. I know he's got a plan for my life. Okay? I know it's a plan to bless and to glorify himself through me. Yes. Does it go along with persecution? Yep. Same package. For some odd reason, he's got that all packed up in one. But you know, today I'm grateful that he allowed that. Because if I have a suicidal person that comes to me, I can release grace to them. I can hold them and bring life into their hearts back again. Because I know what it's like to be hopeless. I know what it's like to feel that there's not even one more day worth living. You say, well, you know, maybe it's not quite that bad for me, but, well, again, many, many times when the Holy Spirit wants us to go higher, we have a tendency, excuse me, to pull back. And we're almost at the threshold of crossing over. And a wonderful thought comes in that seems so rational. Excuse me. How many know what I'm talking about? A wonderful thought. You don't know where it comes from, okay? But it's trying to be rational. I mean, after all, if you only can be a little more logical and a little more rational and work a little harder and do it harder and do it yourself, after all, you were taught, at least I was, if you want to do it right, do it yourself. Right? God helps those who help themselves. What a wonderful proverb. There's nowhere that it's in the Bible, but it's a wonderful proverb. I don't know who coined it, but it's not God. God will not help those who help themselves. God will help those who release the problem to Him. And He will solve the problem for you. Not much logic there. But definitely God's Word. Amen? God's Word says, release it to me. Give me your burdens. I will. Gee, you know what? He's able. He's very able. But we have a tendency to do it my way. I know a few songs in that department too. So, those who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. But to those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. That is cool. He is interested in every single one of us on an equal basis. He gives out His grace on an equal basis. I believe that if you take this message and you ponder on it and you look at what God is really saying to you, you're going to be a different person. You're going to be a different person because God has a plan to definitely show you that you can put on immortality. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm not going to hold you much longer. Hallelujah. I did not put little tabs on this one, so I didn't know we were going to go there. I didn't know. I confess to you my sin of not knowing. Okay? How about verse 50 of chapter 15? I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable or indestructible, and we will be changed. In other words, they're not going to die. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable. That means that which is dying must put on immortality. Amen? And the mortal with immortality. That which is natural has to put on the spiritual. And you can't do it with your brain. Because it won't fit. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. And then verse 55 says, where death, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. So if you want to keep admitting that the lie is part of your life, and you accuse yourself constantly, you're not going to put on immortality. You're going to put on what?
Death.
Every single moment. The more you pick on yourself, the more you criticize yourself, the more you are irritated about your weaknesses, that means you're focused on death. Time to change the covenant. It's time to change the covenant. Are you under the anointing of death or are you under the anointing of life? Life. All right. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes and pray for a half a minute in the Spirit. If you've ever been visited by the same demons that visited me, then I want you to raise one hand. Would you do me a favor? Would you come up here, please? For those of you who are listening to this, there's several hands that went up. And we're going to pray. You know, we don't need to be ashamed of this. Because you know what? Most Christians, most believers have been in this boat. Most believers have walked in this place. But, you see, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, Matthew 18:18. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Agreed? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Would you repeat after me, Lord Jesus? I made a covenant, of escape. The pain was too deep. As of tonight, I break that covenant with death. And all that it means. I break it now. Because it was with words that I committed that I didn't want to live anymore. I break that now with the word of life. I choose to live tonight. I am full of life through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to seek for honor. And for immortality. No more death in my future. Jesus already took it. He died on that cross. Just for me. And I'm coming inside of Him tonight. Inside His body. And I'm going to look out on that whole earth. And say with great joy. I am the resurrection.
I am the resurrection.
And I will rise, from this death attitude
and this mortality
that has been in me has no more room. I am now receiving immortality. I'm putting it on just like a new garment for God's glory. For God's glory. For God's glory. I anoint you with the blood of life, and I declare life over you. I declare you live and full of life. Full of life. In Jesus' name, I declare you free. Because of the blood, I declare you free. Because of the blood, I declare you free. Because of the blood, I declare you free. He couldn't win. The covenant is broken. Declare it to your neighbor. The covenant is broken. I'm free. And I'm full of life. And I'm going to live. And the glory of the Most High will shine through me. And it'll be visible. Even now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.